I can't imagine Cam as a porn star. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Well, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, thank you for not trying.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
That person speaking over there is my mother. She is.
Why are you pointing? Obviously, they can't see that you pointed at me.
Well, you're the only other person on this microphone. Right. So that's my mother. She's a self-proclaimed sex expert, cougar, and by her definition, the world's oldest living millennial.
Yes, and proud of it. And my son over here, pointing to him that you can't see, is Cam Potter. And he is a self-proclaimed stand-up comic, mime clown, and America's Got Talent, one of the human fountains.
Together, we talk about sex in order to make you laugh, give you a sex tip, and destigmatize the whole conversation around sex.
And today will be no exception to the rule, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Can we just say we have a phenomenal guest on the show?
She's hilarious.
Her name is Kate Quigley. She's a stand-up comedian.
And she's going to be like Joan Rivers one day.
She's so open and honest and so authentic. In this episode, we talk about virginity stories. We talk about...
Wait, I thought we're not talking about till after our housekeeping.
I got excited about it.
All right, we'll go back to housekeeping. We'll get back to her in a minute.
All right. What did you want to say?
I want to talk about Patreon.
Okay. Can you do it quickly then?
I'm doing it quickly. I'm just going to say it really helps us. Patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. It's a membership program where you can help out any creator, but especially us. And we want to thank financially. It's a membership program.
So if you like, it's a free podcast. If you want to give some money to us because we're doing a free podcast, we're very grateful for that.
Yes. And we have Davy Jones, who's our latest patron. We want to thank David Jones for
being a very generous donor.
Yes. And on to, so if you want to donate to Sex Talk with My Mom, go to patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom.
If you want to just give us some love and help us out in terms of search results, you can go to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a review. It really helps us.
It does help.
Even if you're just on our Facebook page and want to review that.
Right.
Any reviews are very helpful.
If you're listening to our podcast and loving it and you want to make sure we keep doing it, we have to have some love from you rating a review.
Okay.
And also, if you want to talk to us, we want to talk to you. What?
I was supposed to read this.
Were you going to read a rating and a review?
Yes.
There you go.
Very funny. 5 stars by Open Mike Jesse. Cracks me up every time. These mother's son team is great.
Ah, that's a nice
thank
short,
you, Open
concise,
Mike Jesse.
Like it.
Yeah.
Oh, he probably is Should a comedian
be,
too.
Yeah. It's short, concise, like our intros are supposed to be.
Okay, moving right along.
If you'd like to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. We have a voicemail and a hotline. We have a hotline where you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text. It's Yes Text Mom.
When you say hotline, it sounds like it's some sort of like a crisis mode. It's not a hotline. It's just a phone line.
Some people think of hotlines as like sex hotlines.
Right. Well,
you think of it as like a suicide hotline.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, so moving on to our guest.
Our guest, no.
No, we're not there yet. Okay.
Sponsor.
Oh, yes. Smiling Dick.
We talk about this many times in this episode, actually. Basically, I'm on a climax control training program.
you're in the program.
I'm on the program. I'm masturbating with this jerk-off device every week.
What week are you now?
I just finished my 4th week. And
are you getting like calluses on your dick?
No. My dick seems to be in quite the same shape as it's always been. I'm gaining more awareness of when I come.
Awesome.
It's working. I think the stop-start technique is also very, very helpful for this.
And you're going to hear a lot more about this during our podcast.
If you want help lasting longer, go to smilingdick.com, enter promo code MOM, and you will get 15% off.
And a money-back guarantee if you don't like it after like trying it for 6 weeks.
Yep, it's a 6-week trial. Try it out. Sex Talk with My Mom. Oh, yo, yo. Try it out. smilingdick.com, promo code MOM.
But you'll hear a lot more about it during this podcast.
All right, so this podcast is Kate Quigley.
You're going to hear about my obsession with quaaludes and sex.
You're going to learn about Kate's career and how it affects her sex life.
You're going to hear about all of our views on sex with friends.
And very interesting, we talk about the connection between humor and attractiveness and if they're mutually exclusive. Can you be a hot, funny comedian turns out you can.
Oh, yeah, because she, by the way, this is the one bad thing about podcasts that you guys can't see. She's a very hot woman.
Bombshell.
Oh, bombshell.
Wouldn't you say she's a bombshell?
Yeah, I'd say she's a freaking bombshell. Anyway, she's amazing. She's hosted the AVN Awards. She's
been on Showtime.
She's a up
hilarious
and,
stand-up comic.
She's up
Why
and
do you
coming.
Call her up and coming?
Because she's like, she's already on, came.
She came. She's up. She's came.
No, I mean, you'll hear a lot more about her. She has a podcast called
Hashtag Date Fails with Kate Quigley. And we are going to be on there. So if you would like to hear this,
Hashtag
check it
date
out.
Fails.
All right. On to the show.
And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the Kate Quigleys. Woo!
Wow.
It rhymed.
Fucking finally.
You know why? Because one of
Thank you,
our,
Jim.
Our whack pack.
Jim.
Jimmy has. So
oh, Jimmy's.
I, yeah, Jimmy and I.
Now.
One of our whack packers has decided to call me out on my not being able to rhyme on these birds and the bees song. And you know what? I just have to say, I like not being able to rhyme.
This time you were inspired to rhyme.
I got inspired by it, but I just want you to know I may go back to my not being able to rhyme.
I'm sure you will. All right.
Stay tuned.
Kate, welcome to the show.
Woohoo!
Thank you for having me. This is amazing. It's beautiful here. I really like it.
It's good vibes in here.
You have exposed cement right there, which makes it feel like you're in a basement, except I know we're way above ground. So it's like, it's a great contrast.
Yeah, for everybody, our studio is my second bedroom of my apartment.
You're so lucky that you have this in your house.
It's
and
so easy.
In unit laundry.
In the unit laundry is freaking key.
Oh, I want to just move in. Can I live in that closet?
You know what? I was thinking that you might say that when you came here. And yes, as long as you're neat.
The one thing that makes it a little awkward, though, recording in your apartment building, is that I have to get in the car with all of our guests into their car.
That was my fault, though, because I wasn't prepared.
No,
this happens with everyone.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it.
Thing, just be like, oh, I'm about to jump into this stranger's car.
I've jumped into cars. I like it. It's fun.
I've jumped into strangers' cars too. I'm not gonna lie.
Jumping into cars is fun.
It's a new experience for me. Yeah.
I mean, nowadays we all jump into strangers' cars constantly.
Uber.
It's called Uber.
I know. Uber is just like really. It's
the weirdest
game
thing
changer,
ever.
Isn't it? It's like all of a sudden you're talking to strangers, and I think it's helpful.
I think it's great in a way, but it's also like it's so creepy sometimes too. Like I don't know about you, but I got in an Uber the other night, and the driver was like, "Was that your boyfriend?" The guy I was talking to before I got in, and I was like, "Why?" He was like, "I think I know him."
Oh my God.
What the fuck?
And I was like, "No, it's not my boyfriend." And he was like, "Who is he?" And I was like, "This is really invasive."
Very invasive.
And I get invasive with my Uber drivers all the time. For some reason, I feel the need to ask Uber or Lyft drivers. I'm not picky. I ask them the same question. Has anyone ever had sex in your Uber or Lyft? Literally, I get the funniest answers.
They must all say yes.
No.
Or do they go, what counts as sex?
I get like, not yet, but I hope so. You know, crazy stuff.
They probably think you're offering. Like,
they
why?
Do.
You
they kind of get the wrong impression. So one guy says, I want to take you back to India with me. I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen.
That's hilarious.
Why do you provoke them like this?
I'm curious.
That's actually but I would kind of, I never thought
I
about that.
I record it too.
I always wonder if it's legal to record them.
I ask them.
Oh, you ask permission?
Is it okay if I record this conversation? And
I don't really
off
do that.
On it?
These are very awkward Uber rides with my mom.
I mean,
awkward Uber rides with my mom should be a spin-off podcast.
I wanted to be...
It's like Seinfeld and Cars type of thing.
Yeah. I wanted to be an Uber driver at one point so I could put a GoPro in there and just record my conversations with my passengers and get them to
That's
sign
what
off.
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's
and
like real sex on HBO or something.
They won't let you. I contacted both companies,
really?
Lyft and Uber, and they were like, because...
Great minds think alike.
Because imagine if you hit someone while you're driving the Uber.
Because
you're recording the conversation.
It would be great
such a
content.
Good conversation.
Great content.
Could you imagine? No.
Okay, anyway, on with our show.
On with the show.
We got so sidetracked just now.
So you do stand-up comedy.
I do.
I saw you first perform like 4 years ago.
That's so wild. Where at?
It was like somewhere in Santa Monica. It was...
West Side, maybe.
Yeah, it was actually like... I don't
4
know.
Years ago.
Yeah,
God, I must have been really bad. I'm sorry.
No, I thought you were great.
That.
I still remember you.
Thank you.
It was great. It was, I think it was like an Irish pub or something like that.
Probably. I mean, I would go up literally anywhere when I started, like a garage, a rooftop, like a party. People would be like, I heard you're a comedian. I'd be like, everyone sit down.
Were you always funny, like during like high school and grammar school? Were you the class clown or anything like that?
I was always a performer, like even as a little kid, but I wasn't always funny. But I remember my parents, it was like a really ugly divorce situation in my house. There was a lot of fighting. And I remember always trying to be like comic relief as a kid, like coming in the room and trying to like make jokes about what they were fighting about to calm them down. Like even in like first grade, I remember.
And because you want to deflect the tension. It's exactly. A great call. Exactly. And a lot of kids do that. I have a master's in school social work.
Yeah.
So I know that a lot of kids would do that. They would try to do things, even bad stuff, to get attention so that the fighting would stop.
But she's doing stand-up routines.
Yeah.
About their arguments.
And also, like, you know how ugly, I shouldn't say ugly, but you know how a lot of guys say, like, I couldn't get girls, so I learned to be funny? I swear to God, people don't believe me. I've got to put pictures up. I was so made fun of growing up. Like I was not cute. I wasn't girly.
Oh my God. For our listeners and YouTubers that are seeing her, she's gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
And like a phenomenal body. I mean, like, and confident about it.
Well, thank you. But I swear to you, I wasn't. I really, really wasn't. Like, I really didn't get kind of cute till the last 10 years. I really think that.
No.
I swear to God. Just like I learned how to do That's makeup and get in shape and kind of like, you move to LA, you get, I mean, I was, not, no joke, flat chest, unibrow, mullet, bad teeth, like just not cute. So all my friends who would get attention from guys, I was like, I got to be funnier than them. I swear that's what it was.
Too.
And that's why I got funny, to get more popular.
Wow. So actually, I was with a group of people and I was like, oh, this girl's coming on the show. You guys have any questions for her? And one of them was like, wait a minute. Ugly guys are usually what you find in stand-up comedy clubs, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes.
and it's mainly
you mean on stage or in the
on
audience?
On stage. And this is his theory. He was like, most stand-ups that you see are going to be these heinous-looking dudes who had to develop like a sense of humor because they had nothing. No one else wanted to chat with them.
Especially self-deprecating humor.
Yes. And so he's like, so why is she, you know, how did she become funny? How did, you know, like, how did this all happen? Now, granted, I know a lot of funny women who are extremely attractive, and I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But, yeah.
Bonnie McFarlane, I don't know if you know who she is. She's a really funny comedian. She's married to another, Rich Voss, who's another, like, hilarious comic. But on their podcast, they do, like, a husband-wife podcast. She said, like, Rich was like, man, I met this girl. This is a while ago. He's like, I met this girl, Kate. You wouldn't believe it. She's cute. And she killed. She was really funny. And Bonnie goes, she had to have been molested.
Oh my God.
It was so funny. But I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, people assume that you have to either have had some crazy trauma or you were. But the truth is just, I think, you know, I didn't grow up like, one, I wasn't that cute. And
in your Midwest, right?
I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you guys too?
Well, no, Chicago. And I know you spent time in Chicago at school. I did my research.
Yeah. I went to college in Chicago. I love Chicago. But also, my family, we lived in like a wealthy community, but we weren't wealthy at all. We were like the poor family in the wealthy community. Because once my parents split up, my dad quit paying child support for a while because he just quit his job. So my mom was trying to keep us in everything we were doing, but with no money. Mm. So it just became like, I think I always felt like I had to like find other ways to be accepted. I think that's really what it was. And just funny was the easiest, but I would get in trouble. Like in middle school and high school, my way of being funny would be to make fun of teachers. So I really would roast. I would be in class and roast teachers.
But
I swear.
You know, I could see you have no fear type of. I mean, I saw you with Joey Diaz.
Aww.
Is that his name? Yeah.
I'm doing his show tomorrow.
Okay. I watched how you acted with him, and I was thinking to myself, I'd be scared shitless because I must have an authority thing because I'm scared of cops and I'm scared of.
He seems very intimidating.
He's
to
so
me.
Intimidating, and you're like really? Throwing it right back at him. No fear whatsoever.
I don't know, man. I mean, I was never intimidated by him, but I think it's because I didn't really know who he was so much. Like I knew who he was, but I didn't really know his whole deal when I first talked to him. He called me. This is the best story, actually. I used to do these photos. I don't know if you guys saw them, called In a Bikini. It was like a series. I haven't done one in a long time. But what I would do is I would wear a bikini and I would go places that you shouldn't be in a bikini. Like everyone else isn't. Like jury stage, duty. Right? Like jury duty. No,
well,
I mean,
jury duty.
I did that eventually, but like a hospital or something, right? And I would just walk down the hallway pushing like a gurney, like totally act like I was just, it was normal, not act weird. And I would have someone follow me and take photos. And the photos wouldn't, the point wasn't to be sexy. It was to get people's reactions to what I was doing. And,
Cam, you love this because it's clowning.
This is tremendous.
That's what Cam does.
Yeah. I was, you do?
I don't.
Not bathing suits, but weird
maybe
shit
I
like
should
that.
Do this.
See,
this
and
this is a great idea.
Well, I mean, the reason I started doing it was because when I started doing stand-up, everyone was like, you can't still post hot photos because I was still doing hot girl stuff like fitness modeling and stuff, oh. Right? So Joey called me one day. I'll never forget. I didn't really know who he was, but he doesn't know that. But he called me on the phone. He's like, Kate Quigley, Joey Diaz. He's like, I just want to tell you that shit you're doing, don't quit. That bikini shit is so funny. My wife and I, we sit around. Oh.
Wait,
we laugh.
He's married?
Oh, yeah. His wife is dope. He has a little girl, too. She's 5.
Oh, my God.
So he's like, we sit around. We laugh at that. It is hilarious. Oh. You're a savage. Don't you listen to nobody that tells you to stop.
I love that advice.
And then he was like, I know you're not from here. If you ever need a family, you come have dinner with us.
Wow.
That's how he is for
oh,
real.
Damn.
And I'm getting chills saying it because it was like the way he did it, I knew right away it wasn't sexual. He wasn't hitting on me. He invited me to meet his family. He told me how much his wife loved me. And he was, once Joey was on my side and was like, I got you, it changed everything for me because people were like, oh, well, Joey respects her, I guess.
Maybe. Damn, that's cool.
Yeah, but he's always been like, it's always been like that between us. So I guess from the beginning, I was just like, this guy is like a real deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess it could, from what I saw, it was a podcast episode. And I was thinking, my God, the way they talk to each other, I'd be scared shitless.
Well, like he's raunchy as fuck.
Totally. But he's that kind of conservative. I got.
Well, he's
when he
raunchy.
Was talking about like, why would we do anal? Anal, it'd be like, I wouldn't want to do anal. I mean, he's like, I noticed that the stuff he was saying was kind of. I don't want to say vanilla, but vanilla. Yes, it was vanilla.
No. You're calling him out as vanilla.
I'm calling Joey Diaz out as vanilla.
No way. I can't wait to tell him about this tomorrow.
You can tell him.
No, we will on the podcast because he was just telling me some story. He's going to kill me probably, but he was just telling me a story about like coming on a spoon and feeding it to
somebody. Oh my God. That was not vanilla.
I was like, why haven't you told that on the podcast? It's crazy.
That is hilarious.
I don't know. He was like freaking out about something.
Well, you have some balls though. I saw you hosted the AVN 2016.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been kind of cool too. That was really fun. I had no idea what it would be.
Yeah, you were telling me you didn't have any clue who these porn stars even were before.
Not at all.
So when they asked you, were you like,
I didn't even know what the AVN awards were. I swear to God, I had no idea. Actually, I found out the year before because they were thinking of using me for some red carpet stuff, like whatever, the red carpet interviews. And then I think they decided to use porn people for that. And I was like, all right, whatever. I forgot about it. And then I was in Ventura performing. After the show, these guys were like, hey, we came out. So-and-so sent us here. We want you to host the AVN Awards. And I seriously was like, I don't remember. That's the porn thing? I don't know. And I was anxious to do it because I did my Playboy TV show already and I was just nervous it would be too much adult. And as much as I support that, I also like want to do, I want to be more
mainstream.
Yeah.
You're like, am I getting sucked into this porn community?
See, I got sucked into the porn community.
Did you do porn?
Nope.
Oh.
No, but I do a YouTube channel. And I've interviewed a lot of porn stars because sex is interesting.
It is. And I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's a weird balance though, because when I told him I would do it, what I said, this is the truth. I said, I will do it, but I want to do it from my own point of view, meaning I want to do it like someone that doesn't know a whole lot about this and is a little more innocent. And
but you were super funny though. You were funny though, because you said something about, I watch porn, my husband or boyfriend didn't, or something like that. It was very funny.
Thank you. It's so funny because I still do some of those jokes every once in a while when I'm on the road. I like them so much. someone that bit about when you see a porn star in public and they're your favorite, you know, like actor and you don't know what to do is like still a bit I do.
Wait, Cam doesn't know. Keep going.
Something like I just said, like, it's weird if porn is becoming so mainstream now that the porn stars are just like any other famous person. But it's weird because if you see them in public, you can't really acknowledge it. Like, what do you, like, you go up to them, you're like, can I get a picture with you? No, down here, put your dick on my shoulder. Like, pretend it's a parent. Like, you can't do that. But it's just, I don't know. That whole thing was bizarre, but it was fun. The thing is, I love porn stars.
I do too.
They're so, you know why? Because they're open-minded.
They're free.
So, they're so cool.
Yeah, they don't judge you. Right. They're fun.
That's how I went down that road. Because I really like people that just have no like inhibitions.
No filter.
And love sex.
Yeah.
They don't, I mean, people think, oh, they have to do it because, you know, got a family in, you know, Taiwan, they have to support it. No, most of the ones that I've interviewed love doing it for the sake of doing it. They love what they're doing.
A lot of them do. And I mean, the thing is too, that people don't realize is that if you ever are on a porn set, it's no different from shooting any other like film.
So you've been on a porn set?
Oh, yeah, I've been on them a lot because when I did my Playboy TV show a couple times, we would shoot on porn sets for different things. But one time there was a storyboard. I will never forget. There's a porn storyboard with like stick figures of the different shots and scenes.
Oh, my God.
And it was just so surreal because I'm like, it's not what people think. It's so not sexy when you're there watching. It's really not.
And it's actually really difficult, especially for the men, to keep that hard on for like, can you imagine, Cam, you got to keep a hard on for like 45 minutes straight.
I think they use
as long as it's not touching anything, it would work. I think it'd be fine.
I can't imagine Cam as a porn star. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
Well, you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, thank you for not trying. I don't know why you are
trying,
Mother.
God. That would be creepy. You guys would have to end this podcast immediately.
No, because of the other issue, which is like he's openly talking about some issues that he's had, you know, with like getting excited.
Quicker than I want to sometimes. she makes fun of me for this.
I don't make fun of him, but just we kind of like talked about it a lot.
Every guy comes quicker than he wants to sometimes.
Well, most of the time. It depends. I've worked through it. We're good.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think this is actually a great time for a quick commercial break.
Cam, are you losing your hair?
My hairline might be receding, yes.
And what are you going to do about this? I don't mean to laugh.
I actually went to Keeps.com.
What is that?
Keeps makes these hair loss prevention medications that they will prescribe to you. I spent 5 minutes. I answered a few questions.
What type of medications are you talking about?
These are the generic versions of the two most common FDA-approved hair loss prevention medications.
Awesome.
So if it's for men who have hair, but they see it's kind of like thinning or it's falling out. So
and they want to keep it. I get it.
There it is. I had a very simple time getting these medications. And
so you don't have to go in and get a doctor to prove it.
You don't have to go into a doctor's office. But Keeps has doctors that will review your information and then prescribe you the right treatment for you. I mean, this is the best part of the whole thing. And then it's much cheaper. It's only like $1 a day.
Well, I knew that would be right up your alley.
Very up my alley.
What about your friends? I thought that...
My friends love these medications. Oh, they literally swear by these things.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So to receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/mom. That's KEEPS.com/mom. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/mom.
Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow.
Thank you to our sponsor, SmilingDick.com.
What a perfect place to talk about it.
Yeah, because we were just talking about how my premature ejaculation issues I'm taking an active approach in solving these issues. Well, to be honest, they're not... Okay.
You're not there yet.
They're not issues currently, but...
Because he's getting in control of his dick using the device called Smiling Dick.
Well, the device is actually called Prolong.
Oh, really?
It allows you to prolong your stamina.
Who doesn't want to last longer in bed? I mean, really, I don't know any guys that
there are some
use...
guys. No, no, I know some guys who are SSRIs. All right. it takes them a long time to come.
Yeah. But most guys, at one point in their life, are going to have a little quick draw McGraw.
Yeah, if you're coming quickly, you want to last longer. Try out this training program. It's a 6-week trial. If you don't like it, if you're not
completely satisfied, you can get your money back.
That's right. So go to smilingdick.com, enter promo code MOM for 15% off. And we're back with Kate Quigley.
Hello.
hello. So how does your comedy life affect your sex life?
A lot. Well, that's on me, though. It wouldn't have to if I didn't let it.
So how do you let it?
I mean, what I mean is, like, I'm very open talking about my love life and my sex life and my dating life on my podcast and on stage. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, it scares a lot of guys. That's intimidating.
Do you tell people right away? Yeah. Just so you know, like the people that don't know your comic, you meet them in a bar, you say right away, I do stand up and I may be talking about how I gave you head tonight.
No, I definitely it's don't assumed. Do that. It's I assumed. Don't do that. It's very rare for me to meet someone that doesn't know what I do at this point. And I don't mean because they recognize me. I mean because I don't go out a lot, just like, I wish I did, but I don't have a lot of time to just go out to a bar and meet new people. Usually if I actually have a free night,
but
I
even like
if friends.
You go on Tinder or something and they don't know who you are.
Are you on Tinder?
I don't go on Tinder because no, I don't go on Tinder. I'm on it, but I don't use that at this point. I'll tell you why. This is going to sound maybe arrogant. I hope it doesn't. But the reason is because anyone I meet on any social, I mean, on any dating app, is going to go look me up on
true.
Social media.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and
true.
It immediately brings up a billion questions I have to answer I don't want to, or they assume things based on my public brand that isn't necessarily true. Like, for instance, I love sex. I'm a freak. I like dirty sex. I like threesomes. I like the fucking alleys. I like all kinds of shit, but I'm not promiscuous. I'm very selective. So like, people assume because I talk so openly about sex that I'm easy or that I don't want to date you. So right away, they look at my Instagram, they see my podcast. I've had guys that I've dated. And because of that, I sometimes make guys wait longer than I probably would if it wasn't the case, because I want them to see what I'm really like. And I've had guys, even after that, when we finally do have sex, at some point be like, well, you know, if you don't want guys to think you're just a good time, you should probably change the way you dress, change your Instagram.
Ooh, oh, wow.
And I would like say, fuck you very much.
I do. But that's why, like, it's hard to, because you know how you were saying when you get in an Uber, you ask the Uber driver the same question. When I go out with someone that doesn't know much about comedy or the business, it's like doing a podcast. They ask all the same questions.
We get that a lot, though. We get, I even get that with my own boyfriend who I've been with for 10 years. He doesn't sometimes understand the boundary lines because, really, where are they?
You're saying like, oh, you talk about this in the podcast, so why can't I ask you this?
Yes, he doesn't sometimes know. Like, he doesn't know where to draw the line with us.
Yeah. Like, even a great example, like, I do a joke on stage where I basically talk about the Me Too movement, and the joke is just basically, I mean, I don't want to do my bit on here because then it's out there, but like, I basically just do a joke saying how, you know, assault is terrible, but some of the stories, like jerking off in a plant and you end up with an Oscar, I'm like, I would watch you guys jerk off for a Chipotle gift certificate or whatever, right? Like, it's a joke, a total joke. But people come up to me after shows sometimes and be like, hey, are you serious? I'll give you $100 to watch me jerk off. And I'm like, are you fucking for real? It's a joke. But then at the same time, it's like you can't get too mad at them because you are saying the joke.
So do you feel in, like, with all this Me Too stuff and like the crazy, especially within comedy, there's some crazy shit going on with regard to sex. So do you feel a little more restricted in what you can talk about on stage? Or are you like, ooh, what if the audience thinks this? Or no, you don't give a fuck.
No.
I love that you don't give a fuck.
I don't care. I used to care about way too much. I mean, I used to care what everybody thought of me on a personal level, on a respect level, audience. And then I finally realized I just talk about what I care about, meaning whatever I think about the Me Too movement, my most real honest opinion is what I'm going to give. And if you don't like it, it's okay. Find somebody you like better. Leave. I don't care. You're not my audience. That's fine.
You give zero fucks, and that's our manifesto.
It's because I don't. What I think it is? It's because people don't believe this, but I have been through a point in my life where I was making a lot of money. I had a husband. I feel like I was kind of living the American dream. I had a place, had a lot of money. I was traveling the world. I had a husband, but I wasn't fulfilled. Like, I hadn't found like what makes me really tick. And then I found it, and then I made way less money, but I was way happier.
That's the definition of success.
Yeah. And I just realized that I am not motivated by money or things. I'm really not. You come to my house, I have like 10 pairs of shoes, like total. Like I'm not a material.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I had the same thing you did. Unfortunately, Cam's father and my husband passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's like my current boyfriend's like, I can't wait to buy you a big house. I'm like, I don't want a big house. I don't want to be taking care of any big house.
Yeah, he said the same thing to me. I'm like, what the fuck?
No desire for, I wear the crappy clothes. I mean, they look nice, but they're not designer.
You're beautiful, so you can wear whatever you want.
Well, I can say the same about you.
Well, but
the point
you.
Is that it just like I can be with my friends and they're like, oh, I can't wait to go to this Hermes store. I'm like, what? I don't even know how to pronounce Hermes.
I'm the same way. It's like, it's weird because now I will say I wouldn't move into a bigger house. Maybe I would get a condo at the beach in Venice or something instead of Hollywood. Like,
no, I agree with that.
You know what
that.
I mean? Like I maybe, but it's because lifestyle. It's because I like the beach. It's not because I want a nicer place or a bigger.
It's not for image.
Yeah, it's
for comfort. It's for comfort.
I've never been driven by that. And I've never been driven by, when I was young, very young, like a kid, I thought, oh, I want to be famous. And now, like, I have friends who are so famous and just as miserable as anyone else I know.
More miserable.
Yeah. And it's like, but I also have friends that are famous that it doesn't affect them and you'd never know they were famous. And like, so I think it's really like, it's not about any of that shit. It's just about doing what makes you happy. And that's why if someone doesn't like me at this point, I go, that's cool. I have this. If this is the most I ever get in life, I'm like, I've gotten a lot. You know what I mean?
I'm so impressed because it literally took me over 50 to get to that philosophy. Which is still better than most of 90% of my friends. They still haven't gotten there. And you're doing it at your age. I don't even know how old you are.
I'm 35.
I mean, amazing. And Kim's younger than you and he already gets it.
I don't know if it's even, because I don't think it's age. I think it's life experience.
It is. It's
like
just,
you went through that. You lost your father. Like going through the divorce was like really traumatic. Like I think when you go through something like that, sometimes it really makes you wiser. Like you learn, like it changes you, you know?
Yeah. I've often said that. That is like, it is so, going through like a serious trauma or tragedy is like so groundbreaking and like mind opening that I will find myself attracted to people who, without even knowing their backstory, I'm like, there's the depth there that can only come through deep suffering.
When my husband passed away, I don't even know if I told you this, Cam, but I would, for whatever reason, find younger guys that was mostly because I knew there was nothing serious that's going to really happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're much younger, but they all had like a deceased parent.
Huh. Interesting.
So that's like,
and you wouldn't even know.
I did not know.
Well, they say there's so much science behind stuff like that in chemistry. Like, I feel it now. But there's a guy. I just slept with him the other night. Such a piece of shit.
Was he good in bed though?
Oh, he's the best. We're the best together. That's why. But the thing is, it took me so long to realize, but this guy, we've been hooking up for 5 or 6 years, like pretty much five years, like since almost right after my divorce, right? It's always on and off. We dated for a little bit. We couldn't be together because, I mean, I had my issues back then because I was very young in dating. And I was like too jealous, whatever. But he is still psycho jealous to the point of like pays attention to every person that comments and on my stuff.
Damn.
Everything he hears, he believes. So we could never date. But we have, the sex is so insanely good that every time I see him, no matter how much, I'm like, I'm never fucking him again. I'll just see him somewhere and be like, oh. But it's weird because I was actually telling Joey Diaz that I was laying in bed next to him. He doesn't even have to touch me. If our arms are like this close together, I can feel the energy between us, right? And I started thinking, because I read a book not that long ago, and it was talking about that energy.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. It's a chemistry.
It's chemical, but this book was saying it's psychological, that when you are around someone that innately your psyche knows this person is toxic. Like this person fills some void that is missing in your life. So like I started thinking, it's so true with that guy, because that guy is basically my dad. I mean, personality wise, like there's so many
like
things.
Narcissistic?
Well, no, he's just, I mean, no, my dad will get so mad at me for saying this stuff.
But what are you calling your dad out for being narcissistic? You don't know the dad.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
No, like, I mean, my dad like is, for one thing, he's an addict. But he's on and off, and so is this guy, but on a deeper level. Like, I mean, my dad would not show up for things he said he would show up for. And this guy turned out to be very much like my father, but I never could have known at the beginning. But the book says when you feel that kind of intensity immediately, which I did with him, that it's a sign that that person won't be a good match for you dating wise.
Oh,
great
wow.
sex.
Great sex.
But like,
is he that good looking or are you just like, okay.
This guy's really, really good looking, but he's short.
Short.
He's not like if you saw him in a bar, maybe immediately you would go to him. But like he is hot. I'm not gonna lie. His body's good. He's a little short, but everything.
Is he
else.
Funny?
Yeah, he's really funny. He's really talented. He's sexy. He's charming. Yeah, yeah. He's got it all.
Yeah.
But it's just what I'm saying is you with those young guys.
Yeah. That.
There's something there that your psyche knows.
I think it was like I had this need to nurture and they had the need to be nurtured maybe or something.
Yeah.
Something along those
and
lines.
And you just, I don't know.
Do you agree, Mom, with the idea that like if you find someone really enticing right off the bat, then it's an indicator not to go towards them?
Mm. No.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
For me, it's weird because it's only happened in my life a handful of times that I would meet a guy and just want to fuck him so badly that I could feel it or be like the last guy that I dated that ended up being like the worst decision dating wise in my life. I will never forget the first night I met him. We hugged. I felt like, oh, I just want to cuddle this guy. I just want to cuddle him. I didn't want to fuck him. I was like, I just want to put my head on him and cuddle him. And he ended up being the biggest sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not exaggerating. So I'm like, that's me. I'm attracted to that. It's crazy.
To insanity.
Well, yes. I think that there's sometimes you're attracted to drama too. And I think I'm attracted to drama. I'm attracted to risk takers. I kind of think I know what my type is. I also knew when I was with certain guys just having sex, they were such assholes. And I knew there's no way I'd ever want to be with this guy, but I might as well have sex with him because he's good and bad and he's attractive and he's got that. See, I'm attracted to that a narcissist sexually, but not in a relationship.
See, it's weird for me because the guys that I've just had sex with, no matter how hot they are and how good they are in bed, it'll never be quite as good. Like I hooked up with this porn guy. I've hooked up with a few porn stars. Everyone knows this about me. I tried to date one. That
Derek,
was a disaster.
Derek, the first name?
I'm not telling who it was, but I've never told who it was. But he's not who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
But there was one that we would hook up. And the guy is so good in bed. I mean, he's perfect.
Technique-wise.
Perfect. Just exactly what I like in every aspect. But there was always something that didn't make me go like, ooh, like I'm so into it.
Because he's acting.
I mean, a little maybe. But like, I think it's because if I don't have some kind of like actual feeling of wanting to date you, I don't know. I think I can't get as turned on.
Yeah, this is it. This has been coming up for the past 29 years for me. But
and he's 29.
This is the hardest thing in the world to. I think, especially guys, are like told, yeah, you should just be wanting to fuck anything, like unless you're like a cuck, right? Like
right.
Most. That's like the general social idea.
And the fuckboy phenomenon. Yeah.
And I'm like, no. If there's not an emotional connection, what are we doing here? I mean,
yeah,
we're just fucking, it's like such a finite game. Like there's going to be an ejaculation and that's it.
And it might be quick.
And it might be very quick in certain situations.
Yeah. I've never just had sex though with anybody that I didn't at least, like, even if it was someone I fucked the first night, at least we talked for a few hours. There had to be something like some kind of.
I'm like, must be a slut or something because I didn't have to have the 2-hour talk first.
That doesn't make you a slut. It just makes you. I started so late in the game and then I don't know.
I started late. I was in my 40s. This is the second time around I'm talking. Actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I grew up like in the days of like in the 80s, 70s. I'm talking about when I was having like sex before marriage type of thing. And we didn't really have to. You have to have a basic friendship maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I just, it's probably just because how you're brought up is so drilled into your brain. And then it took me a while to kind of, like, now if I want to, like, there's been guys that I've met that have been like, I'm not looking to date, I just want to get my hands on you. And I'm like, well, let's have a drink and see if there's chemistry. But I have to have a drink. Yeah. I could never just see a hot guy on a dating app and be like, come to my place.
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that either.
But people do.
I misunderstood what you were saying then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like,
I couldn't do that.
There was a football player in San Francisco who was like a hot 49er that I was like, God, he's so fine. I totally want to like go out with this guy, but I knew I didn't want to date him. But I was like, let's meet for a drink. But meet for a drink to me is like the tester. Like, I can't just fuck him unless I meet him and there's chemistry.
Oh yeah, mental, because otherwise it's like, oh my God, this is like a dumb fuck.
This is what even Nina Hartley came out to the show. Yeah. Big porn star. She kind of was like, hey Cam, I'll give you some sex lessons or something along those lines. And then eventually, after months of deliberation.
There's a deliberation, podcast episode about this, by the
that's
way.
That's hilarious.
I was like, all right, we'll see what this might be an interesting experience. So I texted her, and even she wanted to get a lunch beforehand to discuss what was going to go on and if there was chemistry and shit like that.
Yeah. I mean,
so
yeah.
This is someone who's fucked thousands of men.
Right. I mean, you can't just look at somebody and they see if they're attractive or not. Because on paper, they might look attractive. But when you're actually talking to them, they're like, fucking, are you kidding me? But on the other hand, if there's enough drinks under my belt and if we think it's just going to be kissing and I'll start kissing them, then it can end up being
so
a
if you
more.
Can completely delude yourself, then it might work.
If I'm thinking it's just going to be kissing, because I was naive enough to think it would just be kissing for many, many times. You would think not, like, I would get the hint after like two or three times it's going to turn into more.
That's
than kissing.
Hilarious.
But I was like, oh, well, so then what exactly is sex? Is sex kissing? Is sex more? Is sex blowjobs? Or is,
you know. I can just kiss and stop it at that, but I'm really bad at anything between kissing and sex. Like, for instance, like, once a guy, I'll tell a guy, I'll be like, all I can do is kiss you until we're ready to fuck. Because if you touch me anywhere else, I know myself. I just know myself. I'm very sexual. Once I get a little turned on, I have a super addictive personality. I think that's why I've had any level of success in this business. It has nothing to do with talent. It has to do with the fact that I am such an addictive type personality that I get addicted to everything, whether it's comedy, work, the gym, fucking. So once you touch me, if it feels right, I'm going to be hooked on that. I'm not going to want, I can't say no.
I'm just a girl who can't say no.
That's the truth, man. So
that drama thing, when you guys were like, oh, that drama is a big turn on to me. I felt very the opposite. that could not be further from the truth for me. If I know that there's going to be any drama at all, I will run for the hills.
Yeah, I hate drama too.
Oh, so I thought.
Well, no,
you were.
I'm not turned on by drama.
I'm not talking about like, oh God, it's so hard to say about drama. I mean, it's just some
heat, fire.
There's got to be like a spark there, like a little bad boy type of feeling. Like, I can't do like just
a little danger,
yeah,
a little risk,
like a guy that will, like, this is my husband. The first time I met him, there was someone peeing in an alley, and I walked in. I'm like, can you go help me? Because I walked to my car. Because someone's peeing. And without a doubt, he just ran out there and like helped me. And I mean,
I thought you were going to say that your husband was the guy that was peeing in the alley. And this is going to be the best story.
Later on, we ended up getting married. I got into the peeing thing. No, you know, it's just, I like the fact that he just didn't even flinch, just went right out there, where most people would be like, before I go out and defend you, I'm going to go get like a bodyguard or a gun or something.
Aww.
So you need I need someone who is like street smart and is like not scared to do stuff like that. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think it is for me is that, you know, darkness is attracted to light and light is attracted to dark. I'm very light.
I'm light too.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm attracted to dark, but I'm getting better. And like, because I
need the light.
No, I'm just, I found that I'm very attracted to dark souls, like dark, damaged. I think it makes me feel more healthy somehow. I go like, man.
Or it gives you purpose. Like, oh, I can bring this person up a little bit.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I'm very forgiving, like, because I'm very open-minded. So, and I'm an empath. So
wait, what's your zodiac sign?
Sagittarius.
Ah.
Yeah. But I really feel like I can.
Well, no.
What is that?
No, because she's so playful. And then she's also like, she puts her foot in her mouth a lot of times. That's a Sagittarius thing to do.
Yeah.
She puts her foot in her mouth sometimes.
I really do. It's insane. But I don't know. I'm just, I can see both sides of almost any situation. And so sometimes I do that too long in relationships. But you know what? Truthfully, it's weird because I'm getting better. Like I'm at a turning point, I feel. I'm so focused on my career right now. Guys are literally the absolute least important thing in my life, and I'm treating them that way, and it's helping me. It really is.
Would you
say
that you're like similar in that mindset right now, Kim? Because you got so much going on in your life.
Yeah, that's. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the reasons that you're reluctant to get intimate, because like, what if I get intimate and then it's gonna be a relationship? I don't have time for a relationship right now because I got so much going on.
No. I think if I found the right person, I would be like very into it. I think finding the right person for me is a very challenging.
Well, maybe you wouldn't want to waste time finding that person basically because of the fact that you don't have a lot of time.
No, that's where I'm going.
I hate dating. I hate it so much. I really do.
Why don't you like it?
It's like a job. It's in a job interview.
I'm going on dates with people that I know I'm going to have some connection with.
That's different. See, that's my thing is like I had a guy that kept trying to ask me out who I don't really know. The thing is, I really, at this point, I want it to be gradual whenever it does happen. I'd rather be someone I see a few times at a party or whatever. We have some connection. Then we go out. I have no interest in going on a date with a stranger.
Oh, yeah.
Because starting from zero, I already know. I don't have time to get to know someone new. I just don't.
And the odds of it actually clicking.
Think like about
to take a
ads.
Stranger and for you guys to click is next to impossible.
Like, well, I would say like 10%.
Especially knowing that there are other people like that you could easily find, like you can find people so easily.
We have weird lives too.
Very strange.
So you either need someone whose life is in this business and equally as kind of odd, or it's going to take you so long to make them get it.
That's very true.
You know, like my boyfriend, he's gotten into like understanding my lifestyle for like 10 years already. You know, he knows wherever we go, he's going to be taking a lot of pictures, or he's going to be like standing in the background or whatever. He's going to be comfortable with the fact that guys are, you know, asking me about sex.
Right.
Were you talking about the type of stuff you're sharing, or just the lifestyle of like traveling as a comic and things like
just
that?
Just all of it.
Well, that's
all
true
of
too.
It.
You don't have to have a boyfriend. You just have friends with benefits.
I mean, I have had a few friends with benefits, but this is the problem. And you tell me what you think, because I really, really mean this. I've had a few friends that once we have sex, the guy always worries the girl will get weird. The girl will catch feelings or act different. It's always, in my experience, the guy that gets weird. I don't even mean necessarily catch feelings, but they never act the same, ever. In my experience, they either only talk to you about sex after that. There's no more friendship. If you do try to act like you were before, like friends with them, they worry that it's dating or you have feelings or something, or they just, I don't know. Like I've had it a few times where I've been friends with someone and I hate to admit this, but if I'm buzzed drunk or a little high and I hook up with a friend, in my mind, it's almost like it didn't happen. Like I remember it, but I never will have feelings.
I had the same thing. It was, that's what I'm saying. It's not feelings. It's like, you can't just be friends with someone for a long time and not eventually like be in bed, like just hanging around. And then the next thing you know, like you're just,
Fucking,
you're touching each other. And then, well, why am I going to stop right there? You're not going to stop with just a little touchy feely thing. You're going to just come on. Let's just have sex. What's the big fucking deal? It's no big deal. But then afterwards it's like, now there's this thing. We can't really see each other again.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, for me, it's happened now a few times and it frustrates me because the guys are never the same.
So can men and women just be friends without having sex?
I have a lot of guy friends I've never had sex with. Like what you're saying right now, actually, like I do have guy friends I haven't with, because for me, like if that intense chemistry isn't there, even buzz, like I don't do it. But I will say, I don't know if men and women can actually be friends with benefits. I think once you fuck, the friendship part is never true friendship again until you stop fucking and one of you moves on. It has ruined my friendships. Doesn't mean I don't like the guy, but like, for instance, I have a buddy, we've been friends forever, we fucked twice. The first time we had sex, he got weird, and every time I'd hit him up to hang as a friend or whatever, he wouldn't bite until the next time I'd see him out. We'd both be buzzed again or partying, and then we fucked again, And he even said to me before, are you going to get weird?
What
last
the
time
fuck?
Last time it got weird.
It's called projection.
He said you were going to become
weird.
He said
it and I said, you're the one that got weird.
Yeah, yeah. He projected his feelings onto you.
Yeah, I go, nothing's different on my end. And guess what? We fucked. And after that, he got so weird. And I was like, that's it. We are never fucking again. I was like, you are driving me. I was like, because there was some
But
party.
Are you still friends with him now?
Well, that's the thing. It's in a weird place right now because like a couple days later, there was this party. And I heard about it later and I go, why didn't you tell me about that party? Because I knew he was there and he knows the kind of party I would go to. He goes, well, I had a girl with me. I thought it'd be weird. I'm like, why? We've been friends forever. Who
well,
gives
you know yeah, what that yeah. is? That means that you need to have the talk.
I tried.
You just have like a talk even before you have sex.
I think there's some people.
I did.
Yeah. I think,
and they just can't deal
with
it.
When he said, will it get weird? I said, not for me. We can be friends. We can hang every once in a while.
It got weird for him. It did.
Yeah, but that's always what happens. That's why I don't think you can really be friends with
them. It's a whole one Harry Met Sally thing.
I think it's very dependent on the person. For some people, sex means like a lot to them. For this guy, clearly has, there's some emotion. There's sex is tied with shit in his life, obviously.
But
some people might be.
But he fucks hookers too.
Oh my God. So that might be easier for him.
Yes, yeah.
Because he's
there's
totally
a clear
devoid
no
of it.
Emotional
he's
connection.
For
but
that.
Maybe with a friend, he's like, oh, what if this is becoming a relationship? Or what if, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
So, but he's worried about his own like feelings, like he might be attracted to you emotionally and physically. So he might be like, oh, I'm getting attracted to her in both ways.
Maybe
and
you're right.
I'm scared about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be his own. Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I said projection. He sounds like he's projecting his feelings onto you.
He could be scared of
so you
falling
think,
in love
though,
with
that
you.
I would say that. Pals with benefits can exist, acquaintances with benefits, but I don't think friends. That's my question. Can friends, true friends?
I think you might be right because that's why I was saying like young. I was attracted to younger guys. I knew they're not going to be like really my true friend. It was mostly going to be a casual sex thing, and then
that's
you can just kind of like cut. You can be right? detach.
Yeah, because friends is someone like I have guy friends that I'll text about other guys. I might come over if I'm upset and they'll make me feel better.
And you don't want to worry that they're going to be
friends.
Yeah. That's very true.
But could
true.
You fuck those people and it stays like that? Nope.
Because then it turns into a relationship. Because they're such a good friend then,
yeah,
and they're going to bed.
It, right?
Why wouldn't it just turn into a relationship
but
then?
For me, I can do it with certain guys because if I only fuck them, it's weird. But if I only have sex with someone, I'm telling you, when I'm drunk or a little high, like if I do a little Molly or something, like a party.
Oh, a little Molly.
Whatever.
I never did a little Molly.
Well,
but,
sometimes,
but
like
if you're high, yeah.
Certain friends will party and then we'll have sex. To me, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
You're in a different mindset. It's like you guys are different people.
Molly, right. I mean, like you can fall in love with a freaking janitor.
That's what I'm saying. But then for
Wait,
me,
you
that
can't
doesn't
fall in love
count.
With janitor,
no,
otherwise?
I meant like I just looked outside. I thought I saw a janitor.
I love that you said a janitor.
Yeah. No, there's no janitors out there, Mom.
I would fuck a janitor right now.
If you're on Molly, you'd fuck that janitor. No, you know what I'm saying. It's just like you'd fuck almost anything if you're on Molly. The way it's like sort of like MDMA, which is what I did in college.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It's not like I understand what that is.
Yeah. I guess what I mean is just
I've never done it though.
For
you're talking
me,
ecstasy,
it
right?
It keeps me from having feelings. Like for me, it keeps me from feeling the emotional attachment. So whenever I've had sex
so
on something like that, the next day, it doesn't really feel like anything happened from the day. I mean, I know it.
Because it was an out-of-body experience.
Kind of. Yeah.
I've had very different experiences on Molly where I fall completely in love and I'm like, oh, this is my soulmate. Even afterwards, this is the love of my life. I've seen her real soul but we're never able to get back there because I'm like,
you're never high with her again.
Yeah.
You don't do Molly every time you're together.
Yes,
yeah, you
that's
just
the
have
problem.
To stay in, you have to do Molly,
to
a, Molly
guys,
a day.
State of enlightenment.
No. Just say no.
Just
to drugs and fucking
you will
on drugs.
Fall in love with people that you don't want to be falling in love
that's
with.
That's what I think. That's what I was saying. That it just it seems like
I'm
that's
the
reason.
I'm the opposite.
You don't fall in love with the people that you're...
I mean, in
you
the moment, it feels like love or whatever.
Yeah.
But the next day, I wake up and I go, oh, huh, can't believe we did that. Gotta go to work. That's it.
Oh, and you're able to just walk on by like that? You can move past it?
I mean, yeah. I think for the 99% of the time, if it was like, but I'm just saying these are the times when
that's how that's how Quaaludes were like.
Oh my God, you are so funny. You and Joey Diaz with the Quaaludes. Every time I see him, he's like, I would give this bitch a Quaalude. We'd take a Quaalude together. We would roofie each other.
That's what it was like, though. It really was. It was like, oh, you do a Quaalude? It's like anybody could be attractive. You know, I remember walking up to this, just a friend in a bar, and I like just to Quaaludes and start making out with this guy. I'm like, what was I thinking? Just make out with a random guy that you're friends with because you're on a Quaalude.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like all the great parts about being drunk without the after effects, the hangover and everything else.
Don't do Quaaludes, those guys.
I don't even think they make them anymore. Well, if they did, I'd take
they
one.
They don't, but I know there's people that have some in storage, in certain storage units.
Oh,
around.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Don't go robbing storage units.
And don't tell my mom about where those are.
Don't tell me about that. Well, I'll hunt them down. No, oh, you know God. What? They got to be terrible. I mean, it's like from like 30 years ago or something.
I don't know, man. I haven't really tried one, to be honest. I really don't know.
You're missing out.
I'm afraid. No, Jesus. I don't think
you're not going to get one. They don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. She knows some shit.
Oh,
she knows some shit.
I mean, I don't know. I'm going to hunt you down. Say
no,
here.
Okay, but whatever they are, they're not like the real things because I know they don't make those anymore.
They don't.
Let's end this conversation.
Anyway, all right.
How do your parents respond to your material?
They could not be better, both of them.
Oh,
my
wow.
mom and dad. They're so supportive.
I would love to call your parents.
Yeah. I've tried to get my mom to do this, my podcast.
She won't come on?
She's just not that person. She doesn't want to be on camera. She doesn't. Every once in a while, I'll get her in an Instagram video. It's the best I can do. She won't, but she's the best. She's not.
How about your dad?
My dad would love it, but I would never do it because he's too much of a risk because I never know what state of mind. Because my dad does drink and smoke weed and just like,
and who knows what's going to come out
of his mouth.
You never know
what he's going to be like. Exactly. But he's great too. As I've gotten older, I learned to accept both of them for what, you know, you realize at some point that you have already, that your parents are real people. People put them on a pedestal like my mom and dad are supposed to be XYZ perfect and they're so hard on their parents. At some point, you're like, they're just us, but they had kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they don't know more than we know now. I'm 35. My mom was 15 years younger than me when she had me. Like I couldn't have raised anybody as well as she did. There's no way.
Yeah.
So you adjust, I think.
Totally. So if people wanted to find your stuff, how do they find you?
Okay, katequigley.com is my website, and my social media is just @KateQFunny. That's it.
And it's funny stuff.
And it's so
thank you.
Awesome.
We ask this to all of our guests. Have you ever walked in on a parent having sex or vice versa?
No to walking in and no to vice versa. Nothing. Thank God. Thank God. No. Gross. I just got sick.
That's awesome. This is like literally, now, okay, here I go again. I and this time no one's going to believe me. It's like the boy who cried wolf, but this is one of my favorite interviews I've ever had.
Oh,
it really is. I feel like such a connection with you for whatever reason. I don't know. You're just so open.
Thank you. That's so sweet. I really appreciate it. I don't know. I just try to be real. That's it.
Yeah.
You guys are too, you know?
Cool. Thanks for coming on, Kate.
Thanks
love
for
you, Kate.
Oh, I almost forgot to say, check out my podcast, Date Fails.
Oh, yeah.
It's on phenomenal. So funny.
Yes.
And if you don't see the video, people are like, why don't you do it every week? I just don't do video every time, but it's always up on iTunes and everything, Spotify, all that crap.
And we'll be on there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you to SmilingDick.com for allowing this podcast to happen.
You can see where it happens to be a universal issue that people have problems that they come too soon.
If you want to last longer, check out their climax control training program. They'll send you a vibrator, some lube, and basically a training manual. It's a practice in how to gain awareness for your penis and when it's about to ejaculate, what are the muscles involved. And it'll allow you to hopefully last longer while having sex.
Your dick will be smiling.
You'll have a little smiling gem down there. So would you, Mom, would you want your boyfriend to use this device?
I think he's already doing it.
Yeah, how's it going?
He said it's going well.
Look at that.
Yeah, so to me, it's really important to have control of your dick. I think everybody should have control.
And so this is a way to do it. Go to smilingdick.com, enter promo code MOM for 15% off.
Let us know how you like it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.